I just want to break into a little prayer here. Lord, Jesus knowing what's critical to Jesus acting. And we need to know, my God, not just review. And that will take a supernatural grace, because everything in our humanity, the world and the devil, wants to keep us from this dimension of knowing of the love of God, because the devil does not want the church to come into its full inheritance, but to be the predictable kind of thing that it presently is, that does not threaten the kingdom of darkness and does not provide an island of sanity for the world or an example of heavenly fellowship and relationship by those who esteem their souls and the souls of men. So, Lord, I'm conscious that we are being opposed even now. And not only from without, but from within. Our own humanity is contending against this knowledge and understanding. Even as we nod to agree, yes, this what you're saying, God, is true. We're not appropriating, we're not deeply knowing. So, Lord, I'm asking for grace that this occasion not be missed and just receive a nod of agreement. It needs a breakthrough, Lord, a breaking in, that it might be a breaking through, that this Church of New Zealand will be something more than a little dot on the map of insignificance for the nation and for the world, because there's a destiny even for this church as it touches the people Israel in the last days, whose feet will need to be washed by those who can come to them as servants, because they share the identity of God who is a servant. And if Israel will not have its feet washed, nor will they have a place with you. So there's a great thing that is yet future that requires a change in the character of the church, a coming to full maturity, understanding. And you're putting before us the very issue, Lord. And I'm not persuaded that we're getting it. I'm not persuaded that it's being adequately expressed. This requires something from you, Lord, because evidently the church has lost this, has not known it since time immemorial, except in its earliest existence when that church was a glory. Now it's a commonplace. And I'm asking, Lord, with these saints to restore what has been lost. This is an hour of restoration, and you're touching something, my God, of uttermost profundity, and it requires a grace to break through our limitation, our humanity, the low level of our consciousness in which we could nod and yet not be affected. I'm praying, Lord, for mercy. Come, my God, break upon our hearts what this love is, what this pre-incarnate thing means, that without which the earthly life of Jesus is not adequately understood, appreciated, esteemed unto adoration. Lord, we confess that as much as we think we love, as much as we sing and all the rest, we have not come to the place of adoring. Adoring is ultimate. And you're trying to give us the reason for adoration, the basis for it. You're not asking for something magical. You're not asking for us to get whipped up into a frenzy of emotion that we could say we adore. You're giving us literal, graphic, historic reasons that deserve your adoration. And so I'm asking, my God, interrupting myself to pray that you would help us with a little help right here at this juncture. For how should we go further, my God, if we don't get this point here now? Come, Lord, sink deep into our consciousness, into our awareness. Help us to understand, Lord, that the cross was only the practical, earthly, necessary facticity of something that already and ever and always was before Jesus ever came. The cross was God. Sacrifice was God. Outpouring was God. Love was God. Esteem for the souls of men was God. Thank you, Lord. We have not understood. We don't know as we ought to know. And those people who took their stripping with joy knew in themselves that they had a greater recompense in heaven. Because they understood the origin of heaven, they understood the end of heaven, that whatever in their earthly life would be stripped away would be far more compensated for in the eternal dimension to come. Therefore, they could be joyous now in the midst of their stripping. And Lord, that's a saint. And we're going to be put to that test in one measure or another. And it can only be met by joy. When the powers of darkness see us joyous in our stripping, not just biting our lips and tolerating it, waiting for the moment to pass, though inwardly there's indignation and anger at those who dare to touch our stuff. When they see our joy that cannot be feigned, you don't put it on as a performance, it issues out of a deep knowledge of where we have come from and where we're going, that no matter what is taken away in this earthly life, there'll be an eternal compensation that cannot be measured. And for that, we're joyous. In fact, the more we're stripped, the more we receive eternally. And that joy destroys the powers of darkness. When they see that joy, they're finished. What can they do to intimidate a believer who can come to joy in his stripping? And when the world sees it, the world will be liberated that is under the bondage of these spirits that fearful, timid, hanging on to their pennies and waiting for the retirement. When they see a people who are free and joyous, emancipated, my God, this is salvation. They'll come trembling and call for light and say, what must I do to be saved? How do I come into this freedom that you guys are enjoying? Lord, we have fallen short of that. And we thank you that you're showing us the missing key for the appropriation of eternity now, because we have understood the appropriation of the eternity before. From eternity to eternity, he came down, he is returning. And we also, oh my God, lift us into these transcendent depths that Paul knew that he can say, who can separate us from the love of God? Because he knew the love of God in dimensions and depth beyond what we know. Because he factored in not only the love of God expressed while Jesus was in the earth, he factored in the love of God by which Jesus came down into the earth. So we thank you, Lord. Oh, precious God, help us with a little help. See our frailty, see our mortality, see our denseness, see the atmosphere that wants to choke and restrict and keep us at this level. We thank you, my God, for mercy. In Jesus' name. Sis?
All this, what you share, is a true foundation.
I can't hear you.
This is all the true foundation,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
All this is the true foundation.
Absolutely.
The true foundation.
Absolutely.
Of everything.
Yes. Amen. 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 And this is the guy whose book is Apostolic Foundations, does not include this. Why? It was not, I didn't have it. And the book itself is a gem and a classic. But if it was published again, there'll be a new chapter in which this would be inserted, for this is absolutely foundational to apostolic understanding and reality. Whew. My Lord. You guys want to pray something just to thank the Lord? Like if the class ended now, would you feel...
Thank you. share. It's a little story. Well, it's not a little story. It's quite a part of my journey. As a praise and worship leader of the church for some years, I thought I knew it, how to do it. It was sort of what was accepted, praising and worship God. You start with a bit of praise and you lead them in the congregation into worship. We end up in a fellowship further north, and I was asked to speak, first time ever. Share something. So I thought, what will I share? And the Lord impressed upon me to share about some praise and worship. And this was a charismatic little fellowship. For the first time, I actually decided to search the scriptures of what is the meaning of the word worship. I had it wrong. Worship isn't singing. Praise doesn't precede worship. All the meanings of the word used worship is coming before the Father and prostrating oneself at his feet. Out of that, one can rise up and praise him. Is that the missing part of our hearts? That we don't not appear to actually prostrate ourselves before his, in a sense, washing his feet, bowing down, being that servant, being that part of his character. We lay ourselves at his feet in an act of worship, out of which comes praise, so we can receive his love and then truly worship him. My heart does grieve at the shallowness of worship in the body today. And I've shared it many times, and it always seems to fall on deaf ears, or an excuse of giving we don't need to do to humble them at his feet.
Says you ought also to wash one another's feet, which we have not done, maybe on very rare occasion. But I remember speaking from this text in German-speaking Switzerland, and the next day they sent a committee from the church to ask, did I really intend that they should in actuality wash one another's feet? They could not believe that that requirement should be made of them. They were proud and Germanic. They're willing to acknowledge that Jesus did it, but does that mean that they ought also, even though he says you should, that they would send a committee to find out what my thought was? Did I really think that they should? Because if they could avoid it, they would. They were too proud. And I said, I think you should. The fact of the matter is they never did. And I've never seen them again, but I understand from reports that they have fallen back and down into a lesser place. They're going on, but they're going on mechanically. They've lost an opportunity for transcendence. Maybe what they lacked was what that foot washing meant, what Jesus was saying by that about himself and that to which we're called also, for which we will not be capable, really. I mean, we might perform it mechanically, but we'll not perform it spiritually, except we know from where we have come and where we're going, and that God has given us all things. It permits and encourages true humility, true service, true worship, true adoration. So, maybe you need to make this your own. There needs to be an appropriation. It wouldn't hurt for you to pray aloud. Now that's humiliation. That's humbling, huh? I know this in 41 years in the faith, Christians, when they make, they're in public settings, they're making a dedication, they like to do it silently and discreetly, privately and respectfully. But to do it outwardly, to be heard by others, is a bit of an embarrassment. But you ought to be capable of that. If you really know, more, now more than before, from whence you've come and where you're going, that you'd be capable of publicly heard prayer. Because if you're not capable of that, how shall you worship publicly? You understand? So I'm inviting you to pray aloud. Not long prayer, but some kind of an appropriation of this. Asking the Lord personally for a mercy by which this can be understood, factored in to your life, that you would really know it within yourself, the kind of things that would liberate you to be humble. Okay? And that you would be brought for a first time, for me it will be a first time, to the place of adoration, true worship. Go ahead. Let's take, we've got the time. We're not in any rush.
Jesus, I never knew, Lord, I never knew forgiveness. Father, I never knew. I didn't know, Father, I didn't know. I've sung that song with my brethren out of the Albury Tower into the world, this world of woe. And now I'm ashamed because I never knew what it cost you, that this was all decided before you came, that my wheels have been so planted on this world, in this world, in this earthly experience, and what I would go through here, but I never knew you. I never thought on you. I never decided to take the time to even contemplate until this time now. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, my God. But I am so encouraged, Lord, and I am so desirous, and I'm so hungry to be able to sing truly, Jesus, I adore you with all my heart and soul. That at the end of this time that you have blessed me with and led me into, that I will truthfully and honestly be able to, Lord, to be able to know somewhat of an adoration for you. Maybe it will take years. I don't know, my God, but I know we're starting something here. I know a foundation is being laid in my life. And I'm so grateful. Oh, Lord, I'm so grateful. Thank you, my God.
Father, how shall we know what's been spoken this morning of this adoration unless you impart it? I can't, Lord. I can comprehend it in my mind, but to get it to my heart, to my very being, surely must take an impartation from you. Oh, God, how I need that, how we need that. Surely, Lord, it must be from your grace upon grace upon grace that you would impart that to us. And so, Father, we come most humbly and ask that you would give us a fresh understanding, a taking back to the things of the early church that we would understand as we ought to, as Art has imparted to us the best he could, that we would understand this adoration of you, and not just in an understanding, but a living of it. That is so different, that people see it and desire it, not out of ourselves, but out of you.
Father, change the very substance of our hearts. Father, so that the unity and union between us that you desire for us to have, Lord, can be taken in, and Lord, it would grow. And Father, there would be fertile ground. Father, all that is hard, all that separates us, all that shields, Lord, the love that you have, I just ask it be broken. Father, I just ask for a new impartation of that which is of you. Lord, all that Christ is within us, Lord, to come forth. Father, just reveal yourself deeper and deeper. Father, that this unity of the church that will bring the power. Oh, Father, we just ask for it in Jesus' name. Let nothing separate us, nothing hold us back. Father, just you as you dwell in us and us in you, Lord, so that we come together as one. Father, we just ask for a breakthrough. Lord, let the church move, Lord, as your people of power. Father, fully surrendered, obedient unto death in Jesus' name.
Father God, I thank you that you and the Son have to come to fulfill all that was necessary, willingly, in love. To be now at the right hand of the Father. The power of it, the meaning of it. Make it greater, Lord, in my life, in the life of each of us. That the truth of it will be shared, and others will be blessed, particularly your people, Son.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, my God.
Father, I do thank you that throughout you planted something in my head. It needs to enter my heart. I've not known the gospel of you here on earth. Neither has been it. Is it cost you anything?
Oh, precious God, I heard the words of your servant and I sat here like a dumb beast. My head was thick and I couldn't even have the ability to comprehend it. I was willing, but nothing seemed to happen. Lord, I ask you to come afresh, Lord. That you would come afresh and breathe life in and through me, Lord. I would hear and understand. I would see and hear and have an understanding heart. Come, Lord.
Yes.
Gracious God.
Father God, please help me with my resistance.
Yes. Yes. My precious heavenly one. I'm broken to grasp the full impact of all that your dear servant Art has told us, has taught us, is so desperately trying to impart to us. Oh, I just acknowledge before you my total inadequacy. I throw myself at your feet, at your mercy. Ask you to lift the veil of this human frailty and impart to me what it is I know is truth. I know it's essential. And like our brother said, I prostrate myself before thee at your mercy. In Yeshua's dear name. Amen.
Lord, do you realize what you're asking of a Gentile church in the last days, to bow and wash the feet of Jews that will be stinking and lacerated in their surly mood, that will be the result of their having been stripped of all their goods, and that as we seek to fulfill this final and ultimate requirement by which the church is distinguished as the church and enters into its own eternal destiny and reward, everything that's in us from our Gentile origin and history of contempt for the Jew, of the sense of being made to feel inferior, will well up in that moment and say, why should I do wash that feet? Lord, it's going to require something supreme and not just the gritting of our teeth to do something obligatory. It's got to be as gracious, as true servanthood, as when you wash the feet of your disciples, which included the feet of Judas Iscariot. And Lord, we're far from that condition now. We're not in that condition now, but we need to come to it. And if we come to it, we'll come to it on the basis that you have put before us today and no other. So we thank you, my God, for such love as will not let us go. That you've waited this hour, you've held back, you've reserved this revelation, this understanding, this component of apostolic faith for the last days. And even though we're hearing it, Lord, we're unbelieving and doubting, and we're asking again for that deep work, my God, of your word, that the word will be for us a work and not just an information, and that you'll open up eternity past in the way that you can open up eternity future. It's the same eternity, Lord, and it needs the same revelation, that we might live in this present life as we ought, joyously esteeming the souls of men, and not the least the souls of our Jewish brethren, even in their unbelief, even in their apostasy, even in their last days, opposition, being hated in all the world, yet will we esteem their souls and count it privilege to be a servant people as to wash their feet. Thank you, my God, of all that is symbolized and hidden in this remarkable event that does nothing more than depict what you did at the beginning. In coming down and out from heaven, you lay aside your deity. So we bless you, Lord. What a God you are. What a salvation this is, measured in the last analysis by this requirement. Boy, you've set the stage, my God, to reveal where we are, in fact, in the knowledge of you. And only those who adore you will be capable of it, because their adoration will be the very power to be humble, to wash the feet of the Jew who will not be grateful and will not understand why. But if their feet not be washed, they'll have no part with you, millennially nor eternally. So it's a very great mystery, my God, that you have made possible by your own coming out and down and into. And we bless you for that, Lord. It's uttermost love. Let it reside deep in our hearts. Let us dwell. Let it dwell in our thought and our understanding until it is seated in the very foundation of our life and being. Save us from Christian superficiality, from shallow Easter celebration, my God. Give us the same knowledge of your love that Paul had, because he had this understanding from eternity to eternity. And his own apostolic life to the Gentile church was the truth of it. He washed the feet of the Gentile church. He was to them mother and father. He beseeched and he pleaded. He did not withhold from them all the counsel of God, day and night, with tears. He was to them what God calls us to be, to his kinsmen, which is the reflection of what God is in himself. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you, my God. Let this sink in by the grace that has given it for myself as well as for these children and for those who will see and hear this through tape. Let it be, my God, a significant event for the church that fills in and completes its faith and brings it to that apostolic reality alone by which you are both glorified and truly worshiped. And for that, Lord, we give you thanks and praise. For such a beginning as you have given us today, what follows? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Receive our gratitude, my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Lord.
You have placed that desire within me, Lord. Oh, Lord, make the path straight. Help me to walk in the truth that you have designed me to. So I ask for your mercy in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
Amazing thing that Jesus answered when he spoke and he said, before Abraham was, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Which just goes back the span of his eternity. He said, you know, I have no beginning and I have no end.
Mm-hmm.
So for all eternity, Yeshua is King.
Mm-hmm.
No beginning, no end. Just a little map up in the middle.
Yes. Yehovah. Yehovah is Isaiah, is Yehiyah, and is Obed. Yehovah is was, and it has been, and it will be. Yes. Thank you, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm thanking you, Father. I'm giving you 1 million. Thank you, Father, for once again, Father, for taking me again with your people, Father, and making sure that your sweetened word, making sure that your story and that your book will be dwelling in my heart rather than any other things, Father. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. I give you thanks for everything you have given me, and you have given me so much, Father. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the people. Thank you for the teaching, Father. Thank you for the prayer, Father, which have touched my heart as well, which express some of my needs, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Father, I'd like to take this day with, in your name and your Son name, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit, the concept of the three, which is one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, oh, I'm so thankful to have to be with the people who you have sent me to be, Lord. And make sure, Lord, that you hold on me and that you never let me go again. That I should be not lost again. Not with fear, not with fear of loss, not with anything that the devil and Satan may provide for me to get me out of your hand. Only with your hand, Lord, I'm safe. Only with your hand, I can really have my life running down here in this planet, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. In the name of your Son, Yeshua Mashiach.
And we say amen.
Father, I ask you that you would press into our hearts the truth that we are from you.
Yes.
Lord, that you are the source of everything that we are. We are the work of your hands. And Lord, that you, we are born of you.
Mm-hmm.
Father, that you are our home.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, that we will be able to know, as Jesus knew it, that he came from you, and so he was able to take any shame. And
yes.
Lord, he was able to be humble. And Lord, he was also able to be bold and strong in your strength. And Father, I pray that you would press that certainty into my heart and into all of our hearts.
Yes.
Father, that we come from you. And because we come from you, Lord, we can know your strength within us to be humble when you call us to be humble, and that we can speak your truth when you call us to speak your truth. Lord, that we can live the way you would have us to live, not compromising.
Mm-hmm.
Father, because we come from you,
mm-hmm.
and because we go into you, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
would you mercifully, Father, press that into our hearts and make up for our lacking, Father, all the places where we struggle to understand and struggle to know. Thank you, Jesus, that it is your good pleasure to do this for us. Lord, you know our weakness and you come alongside us to help us. We praise you for that, Jesus.
Yes, we praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Yes.
Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for that sense, Lord, today, that fresh sense, Lord, of deep calling unto deep. And Lord, you are calling us all onto a new plateau, Lord, before you.
Yes.
A new depth of calling, Lord, a new sense of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus from everlasting, Lord, and to everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the unspeakable privilege, Lord, that is ours.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, may I never retreat from this point,
mm-hmm.
but Lord, go on, always, mm-hmm. onward and upward. Lord, stretching forward as Paul did.
Yes,
and Lord, refusing every impediment, Lord, and every legitimate thing, Lord, that would impede that call, that eternal call and that eternal glory. So Lord, receive my gratitude this day for this deep calling unto deep, Lord. And Father, may you accomplish everything that you desire.
Yes.
Not only in me, but Lord, in us corporately, Lord, in these days.
Mm.
According to this word, Lord, be it unto us.
Amen.
Lord, I just thank you that you drew me here. Because I've just been wondering for the last 24 hours why I'm here. And so, Father, I just thank you that I've often prayed for a revelation, Father God, of something that was, I didn't understand, I didn't even know what it was, Lord. But Father, you've given me this revelation of an in-depth in you, Lord, of something that, of yourself, Lord, and I desire now to go on with this, Lord, and I ask for your mercy for not seeking you more. But thank you for this revelation, Lord.
Thank you.
It's a refreshing, Lord. It's a newness.
Thank you.
So Lord, help us move the centrality of our life source from this world, Lord, to you, Lord. Let you be central in our hearts, Lord.
Yes.
That everything moves and extends out of that centrality of you, Lord. Lord Jesus. Father God, let us push aside all the things of this world, Lord, which make us so busy and bound up just trying to survive, Lord, in this place. Lord, that in these days, Lord, we can move back and truly call you Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, truly bow before you and be prostrate. Literally and in our hearts, bow God before you in this time. I pray, God, in our time here that we can join together in one spirit and truly worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, I pray that you do bring revival all together in our hearts, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, if we're finding it hard to join together, I pray that you supernaturally strike us by your Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Lord God, that you strike through that rock in our hearts, Lord.
Yes.
And bring us into a relationship together where you can bring something out of it, Lord, for you.
Absolutely.
For your kingdom's sake and your glory's sake, we pray this in Jesus' name.
Yes, yes.
Your will be done, Father.
Amen.
Word from heaven today, Lord.
A
rhema from heaven, Father. And may it grow in us, Lord, until it's a true reality in us, Lord, not just a knowing in our minds. Oh, Lord, we just cry out that it will grow and grow and grow until it's a reality, and everything we do will be based on this, Father. And Lord, we just ask that these words don't fall to the ground, Lord.
That's right.
That they don't just die, Lord, but we pray that they'll live and go through this nation, Lord. And that they will go to other nations, Father. It's almost like a new rhema, like a opening up the way again, Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, Father, let us have this passion for you.
Yes.
That you have for us, Lord.
Yes.
That we would have, Lord, I cry out that I would have a passion for souls like you do, Father. So, Lord, we just ask you to keep these words safe and let them grow through this nation, even, Lord, into our churches, places where you want them to go, Lord. That we be a changed nation, that we be a changed people, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we're here. Thank you, Lord, that we're here.
Yes, thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord, let the seed of your word fall upon good ground this day. Lord, you are breaking new ground. You're digging deep into our hearts, Lord, but you're speaking things that you've prepared our hearts to receive, Lord, even this day.
Yes.
And that you would keep on working on that ground in our hearts, Lord, that you'll break down the obstacles against your truth, Lord. That where we waver and wonder and question, Lord, that you would give us, remove our doubts, and that you would give us a clarity which can only come from your Spirit, Lord. That you would give us that clarity that we know, that we know, that we know that your word is truth. And it's by that word that we live and move and have our being. And in him we live and move and have our being. And so, Lord, that you would continue to work in our hearts, and that you would help us, Lord, to grow together, that you would break down our individuality, Lord. We're very different. We have come from different places, but Lord, you have desired that we come here for this time, and Lord, I pray that none of your desire would be lacking, Lord, that you would have your desire that you want for this time, what you have chosen, that we are here under your word, and let it grow, let it go deep, Lord. Thank you for your graciousness to us. Thank you for the unfolding of your mystery, Lord, that you would continue to unfold it, Lord, as we can receive it, that you'd stretch the our inner being, that we can receive this new word, that we can receive it, Lord. And thank you for that seed, which you said will grow and will fall, it will fall on the ground. Thank you. Don't let the enemy snatch it away, or
yes.
Don't let it fall on stony ground.
Please,
let it fall on good ground.
Yes.
Let it
yes.
go deep and let it take root.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah. Bless the heart of God. Hallelujah. Lord, I need to know this mystery, Lord. Father. I need further revelation of this mystery, Lord. Lord, you're coming. Coming down, Lord God, and coming in and that there's a value, Lord God, on our souls, Lord, of mercy.
Thank you, Lord, for the servanthood of P.T. Forsyth, through whom we have received such benefit today, because he acknowledged there was a roof on his own faith and a limitation in his own experience in worship that he wrestled against and wrestled through and found what was the missing key for himself and for us. He didn't swallow it down. He didn't measure himself by others. He was true. He recognized something was wanting. He saw it through, my God, and you gave him answer and insight, and he has communicated that beautifully. His own service in this book is a picture of servanthood that washes feet at the cost to oneself. So we thank you for such a man, Lord. And what shall we say? But could he be in the invisible cloud of witnesses overhead today? Looking down and seeing that his life and its sacrifice was not in vain, and that though he's dead, he yet lives, and that his work has had a remarkable impact that you have reserved for the saints of the last days, though it was written in 1913 or 6 or whenever, 1909, whenever that was. So we bless you, Lord. He was not content to go along. He was not content just to fulfill religious requirement. He knew and sensed something was wanting, and he did not rest until he obtained an answer from you. Thank you, my God, for such a servant. That's servanthood. And may it be an example, a model, an inspiration for us who are not called to be authors, but whatever we're called, that in that, my God, to be as selfless and serving as he was in this. So, Lord, the whole thing from beginning to end is a remarkable statement, and we bless you. And the end is the consummation, when a church shall wash the feet of Israel. Whew. The powers of the air will tremble. They will fall into fits of paroxysm. They'll foam at the mouth in fury and futility when they see this ultimate and final victory of Christ. When they see the wisdom of God triumphing over the wisdom of the world in an actual demonstration of a humility for which Gentiles would not be capable except they were in the place of Christ and understood from whence they came and from and whereto they're going. Thank you, my God. Oh, it's colossal. I've not seen it myself till now. May I be awed, may I become speechless, may I become stupefied at the grandeur of all this. And the grandeur and majesty of it is so great that there's only one place for us in recognition, and that is adoration. How can we not adore a God who is not only so wise as to conceive, but to perform and to express this out of his inmost being? Thank you, my God. Oh, Lord. You're worthy of all worship, praise, acknowledgement, and honor, and the adoration that has long been your due, that we were incapable of performing until you opened our inner eye to see where from whence you have come and what that leaving heaven meant, the pre-incarnate life, as significant as profound, and giving the profundity to the earthly life as well as to the eternal. Lord, your past finding out. You're a very great God. And all that you did is what you are in yourself. Thank you, Lord. And what we desire to be in ourselves because of you. Thank you, my God. I can hardly wait for the consummation. And surely Israel is tending toward it. They will be pummeled. They will be beaten. Islamic fury will drive them from their places of security. They will be the offscouring of the world. And they'll come to us in the most decrepit condition of brokenness and unwashed and cut and slashed and find mercy, real mercy, actual mercy, in washing their feet. It will heal their souls. It will instruct them of their own God. And it comes from Gentiles. Whew. Thank you, Lord. We adore you for this. You're great. Thank you, my God. Hasten the day. Bring the fulfillment, we pray. We thank you and give you praise that your glory and honor and praise will be emitted from coast to coast, from one end of the earth to the other. Praise and worship and adoration for such a God as you are. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I didn't hear that, Irma. Could you repeat that?
Lord, that you give us a heart like your heart.
So, precious God, what a beginning you've given us. I can't ever recall in the remarkable beginnings that I've enjoyed such a beginning as this. But it brings a paralyzing predicament. Where do we go from here? So you who are the Alpha and also the Omega know. And you will unfold, my God, such things as required a beginning of this kind. Because the beginning is utterly related to the end. So receive our gratitude, Lord. May we grow even by this first installment that makes us capable for the future installments, and that by the end of it, we will ourselves be transformed. Thank you, my God, for such love. Thank you, Lord, what you have reserved for us in these days, precious beyond all speaking. Come, Lord, unfold your whole heart and enlarge us to receive it. We thank you for the privilege in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there'll be no break. This is it for this morning. The sun is coming out. Take a walk and muse and reflect upon these things. Talk to the Lord about them and pray for the evening's sharing and each of these days, okay? Bless you.